The reason we must have hope in life is because we live in a broken world. This is earth, not heaven. So we shouldn't expect things to be perfect here. Because of our self-centered, sinful choices, and the tendency of everyone else in every generation to do the same thing, the sins of humanity have damaged what was once a perfect place. Eden is long gone. Our planet is out of order. It's the damage done by what theologians call the fall. We lost paradise and we lost our innocence due to the rebellion against God. And we've struggled with difficulty and doubt and discouragement and despair ever since. You see, absolutely nothing works perfectly on earth. The weather doesn't, the economy doesn't, your own body doesn't. No marriage or relationship works perfectly because it's composed of imperfect people. And your plans in life haven't worked out perfectly. And this is the reason we need hope. Because everything in life is broken, but we're not left alone. God gives us hope. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Winning the Battle Inside Me.
We have a natural inclination to do the wrong thing. We have a natural resistance to do the right thing. You don't like to do the right thing. You like to do the easy thing, and so do I. I like to do the popular thing. I like to do the comfortable thing. I like to do the thing that I think will make me most happy. I'm not interested in always doing the right thing. I'm interested in doing what's easy and what's comfortable and what's quick. And how many times have you started each day and you go, okay, in your mind you're going, okay, Lord, today is going to be different. Today is going to be different. And by the end of the day, nothing has changed. And Paul says here, you know, I'm no longer doing it. Now, when Paul says it's in me, this, I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it, he's not making excuses. He's simply recognizing the fact that he has an old nature inside him that likes to sin. And by the way, so do I. And by the way, so do you. Now, we like to sin. Let's just admit it. Sin is fun. It is. It's fun. In fact, nobody would do it if it was a bummer. In fact, even the Bible says it. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, there is pleasure in sin for a short time. There is pleasure in sin for a while, in the short term. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But then you're going to have the consequences. Everything has a consequence. And if you have your kicks, you're going to have your kickbacks. In other words, it's a whole lot of fun to go out and buy a whole bunch of new things on a credit card, but then you got to pay for it. Okay? It's one thing to go out and have a lot of fun and eat a whole lot of food, and then you got to pay for it with indigestion or overweight. You know, it's one thing to stay up late all night and party all night and have a great time, but you're going to pay for it the next day. You can go out and get drunk, but then you're going to have the hangover. There is always a consequence to everything we do, and every kick has a kickback. And so he's saying, you know, the sin is fun. There's no doubt about it. But there's always a payoff for it that is not worth the short-term pleasure. He says we get compulsions and addictions. The fourth thing that happens, when I don't know how to fight the battle, then I keep losing, and along comes, number four, self-condemnation. And oh, some of you have gotten really good at this. You're a pro at putting yourself down. You're a pro at condemning yourself. And because you keep stumbling in the same area over and over and over, I still lose my temper. I still say those mean things. I still have those thoughts. I still do. And you start going, I'm no good. I'm worthless. I'm junk. Why should I call myself a Christian? God must hate me. God's mad at me. Blah, 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 and all those other things. and you start condemning yourself, that's the inevitable sign that you're in this spiritual battle. Verse 18, Paul says, I know I'm rotten inside as far as my old sinful nature is concerned. Now, who told him that? He's telling himself that. He's putting himself down. He's condemning himself. And that is a mark of when you have habitual areas that you keep falling in over and over. I want to keep. How many resolutions have you made that you didn't keep? A lot. And then you start putting yourself down and just do the self-condemnation. That leads to number 5, frustration.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Winning the Battle Inside Me from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
How many resolutions have you made that you didn't keep? A lot. And then you start putting yourself down and just do the self-condemnation. That leads to number 5, frustration. And this is a mark of a Christian trying to live on their own power instead of God's power. You get frustrated. Paul says this in the next verse, verse 18. He says, you know, no matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's plain where the trouble is. Sin has me in its evil grasp. Now, the Bible calls this the law of sin. And the law of sin is the spiritual counterpart to the physical law of gravity. They both pull you down. Gravity pulls you down. Gravity loads you down. Gravity actually ages you because it's wearing on your body. And as I said last week, if you're down there and I'm up here, it's always easier for you to pull me down than for me to pull you up. This is the law of gravity in the physical realm, and in the spiritual realm, it is the law of sin, which means it's always easier to be pulled down and do the wrong thing than it is to be pulled up and do the right thing. Happens all the time. And that law is trying to keep you down. Now, let's say I want to ignore the law of gravity, and I say, I'm going to fly. I'm going to be the first human being to fly. So I go out and I start flapping my wings. You know, my hands up and down. I can flap as hard as I want, as long as I want. I'm never getting off the ground. Why? Because the law of gravity is stronger than my human ability to fly. The same is true in a spiritual realm. When I try to do the right thing simply by willpower, I'm just flapping my wings. I'm not going to get off the ground. I may get off the ground for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, and then after a while, I'm going off the Daniel plan. Or I'm going back to my smoking. Or I'm going back to my pornography. Or I'm going back to yelling at the kids. And when I try to change by willpower, I pretty soon get tired and I give up and I stop flapping. You're not going to beat the law of gravity physically, and you're not going to beat the law of sin spiritually. It's going to cause frustration in your life. And Paul says, I am so frustrated. Let me read you a great theological piece by Arnold LaBelle. Now, actually, he's not a theologian. He's a children's book writer. And when my kids were little, if you've ever had preschoolers, you probably know the series of books called Frog and Toad Together. And I used to read them to my kids, and one of my favorite stories to my kids was this story called Cookies. Frog and Toad. Toad baked some cookies. "These cookies smell really good," said Toad. And he ate one, and they tasted even better, he said. So Toad ran over to Frog's house. "Frog, Frog," cried Toad, "taste these cookies that I've made." Frog ate one of the cookies. "These are the best cookies I have ever eaten," said Frog. So Frog and Toad ate many, many cookies, one after another. "You know, Toad," said Frog with his mouth full, "I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick." "You are right," said Toad. "Let us eat one last cookie, and then we will stop." So Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. But there were very many cookies still left in the bowl. Frog said, "Toad, let us eat one very last cookie, and then we will stop eating cookies." Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. "We must stop eating," cried Toad as he ate another. "Yes," said Frog, reaching for a cookie. "We need willpower." "What is willpower?" asked Toad. Frog said, "Willpower is trying hard not to do something that you really want to do." "You mean like trying not to eat all these cookies?" asked Toad. "Right," said Frog. So Frog put the cookies in a box. "There," said Frog, "now we will not eat any more cookies." "But we can open the box," said Toad. "This is true." So Frog tied some string around the box. "There," he said, "now we will not eat any more cookies." Toad said, "But we can cut the string and open the box." "That is true," said Frog. So Frog got a ladder, and he put the box up high on a shelf. "There," said Frog, "now we will not eat any more cookies." But Toad said, "We can climb the ladder and take the box down from the shelf and cut the string and open the box." "That is true," said Frog. So Frog climbed up the ladder and he took the box down from the shelf and he cut the string and he opened the box. And Frog took the box outside and threw all of the cookies out and he shouted in a loud voice, "Hey birds, hey birds, here are free cookies." Birds came from everywhere. They picked up all the cookies in their beaks and they flew away. "Now we have no more cookies," said Frog, "but we have lots and lots of willpower." "You may keep it all, Frog," said Toad. "I'm going home now to bake a cake." The great theology of Frog and Toad. Now, how many times have you played Frog and Toad with something you thought, "I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm not going to do it anymore," and then you do it? This is the frustration, and it always leads to number 6, which is discouragement and despair. Paul gets so discouraged from this war going on inside him. And he says, it seems to be a fact of life. In other words, I'm giving up on this. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And in my mind, notice this is a mental battle. The battle's going on in your mind. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. He said, I feel like giving up. I'm in a battle and I'm losing. And I'm feeling hopeless. And it causes these 6 things in my life. Now next, Paul discusses not the cost of the battle, but the cause. And what is the cause of this battle that's going on in you? You write this down. The reason is, I have 2 natures. You actually have two natures inside of you. You have your old nature, which you were born with, and you have the new nature that was given to you when you trusted in Christ, when you were born again, when you became a believer. And this new nature wants to do the right thing, but you still have the old nature inside of you. And these two natures are in constant conflict with each other. And that's the cause of the battle. You have two natures, not one, two natures inside of you. In verse 21, Paul says this, I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there's something else deep within me. My lower nature, that's my old nature. The Bible often calls it my flesh, or it calls it my carnal self, or calls it the old man. These are synonyms for the old nature. There's something else deep within me, my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Now, even though I'm a Christian, my old nature is still alive. And I hate to tell you this, but you're going to live with it the rest of your life. You don't get rid of your old nature until you go to heaven. When you became a follower of Christ, He gave you a new nature and a new ability to do the right thing. But that's at war with the old you. And sometimes you feel like, I feel like there's two me's inside of me. I heard about an old Indian chief who was a Christian. And he was trying to explain this war between the new natures to his son. He said, it's like two dogs in my mind in battle together. There's a good dog and there's a bad dog and they're fighting it out. And the young son said, well, Dad, which one wins? He said, whichever dog I feed the most. And that's going to be true in your life. Whether you feed your old nature or feed your new nature. But even though I'm a believer and I've walked with the Lord for in a long time, I still have my old nature in me, which wants to be prideful, which wants to be self-centered, which wants to gossip, to lie or steal or make myself better or, you know, exaggerate or whatever. That old nature is still there. And the lust and the gossip and the lie and all that stuff there. Now, let me tell you why the problem is your problem. Because willpower is not enough to defeat your old nature. And if you think that you can change simply by wanting to change or by learning about change, it isn't going to happen. It'll happen for a little while, but then you're going to get tired and you're going to stop flapping. Knowing what to do is not enough to change you. If it was, I would never have to repeat a sermon topic. You'd get it, you'd change in that area, and then we'd just go on to something else. But just because you know the right thing to do does not mean you do it. The next verse says this, so you see how it is, Paul says, my new life tells me to do right, but my old nature that's still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Circle that phrase, terrible predicament. In the original Greek, it literally means the exhaustion of hard work. It means being worn out after an intense battle. It means you're out of energy. You're wiped out. You're fatigued. You're frustrated. You feel like a failure. It's Paul's cry of agony. He says, I need relief. I need help. Now, this is not a pretty picture. Romans 7 is the picture of a defeated, struggling Christian. And finally, he falls on his face and out of exhaustion. And Paul goes, what's the cure? And then he tells us. And he says, God's battle plan for victory. And he tells us what the plan is. Now, this plan is all in chapter 8. And we're going to cover all of that next week. And I can't share it all in one week because it's too much material. But let me get you started on a couple of advanced steps on how you start to win the battle going on inside you. You do three things initially. And then we'll cover all of the material next week. The first thing I need to do, God's battle plan for winning the battle inside me, is I must deepen my understanding of Christ. Now, you already know Christ. It's you got to deepen your understanding of Christ and what He did for you on the cross. Now, we're not talking about being an unbeliever here. You're a believer. Paul is a believer here. Jesus is already in you. In fact, that's why you have this battle. If you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't have this battle. Why? Because you'd only have one nature. And if you only got one nature, your old nature, you just go ahead and do whatever you please and do the wrong thing, and you don't even care about it. So a non-believer does not have this battle going on in them. Because they don't have the good nature battling with the old nature. They just got the old nature that says, do whatever you want to do. So the fact that you've got Jesus in you is what's causing the battle. But having Christ in you is not enough. He doesn't just want to be resident in your life. He wants to be president in your life. He doesn't want to just take up space. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be the Lord of your life. What does that mean, Lord? It means he's the CEO. He's the boss. He's calling the shots. He's the chairman of the board. He wants you to put a sign over you that says, under new management. That's what it means to have Jesus as the president of your life, and under new management. But the first step is I have to deepen my understanding of Jesus Christ. He's in my life, but I got to know more about him. Romans 7, verse 24 and 25. Who will free me from this life? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God, the answer is through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, we all face temptations every day. It's a spiritual battle that takes place inside us. And it makes us vulnerable, particularly if we don't know how to fight it. To overcome temptation is absolutely essential that you know the tactics that Satan uses to trip us up. And it's vital to learn the biblical defenses that God gives us. He has told us in His Word how to handle and how to manage the attacks of Satan. Now, in order to help you learn how to respond to the predictable patterns that Satan uses to tempt you, I've created a study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. This kit, The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, includes a DVD with 7 different sessions and a simple booklet that will help you learn how to overcome and defeat temptation in your life. You really need this. In the series, I will teach you the 3 kinds of temptation, God's antidote to temptation, and even how to avoid temptation in the first place. It is a study guide that you can use by yourself, but you'll actually get more out of it if you'll gather a small group of friends together and study it together as a small group. Now, I want to send you the Invisible War, Winning the Battle for Temptation study kit as my gift to say thanks for your support of Daily Hope with your financial gift. You know, we can't do this without you. And your generosity helps us take the hope of Christ into places all around the world and now to places that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. You can visit rickwarren.org, www.rickwarren.org, or you can call my staff at 1-800-600-5004. If you'll be a supporter, if you'll help me out, if you'll join my team, call 1-800-600-5004. And we'd love to pray for you at the same time. Thanks for listening today, and thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. And be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
The This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.